people, I've been doing it since the first trailer came out, and I'm about to do it again. And I hate to do it, but hooked on a feeling, gotta believe that you're in love with me because you're in love with James Gunn. Oh my God, the artist, the masterful James Gunn, one of my favorite, all-time favorite directors, brings us Guardians of the fucking Galaxy, bitch, as Peter Quill in the movie says so comfortably. Man, I've been waiting for this goddamn movie for a whole year now, if not longer than that, for Marvel bringing it back, making me remember what Guardians of the Galaxy was. But people, let me go ahead and get into a plot synopsis here. So we open up with a young Peter Quill, and he's on Earth. And after his mother then passed away through cancer, I'm assuming, he gets picked up, which we find out later is by Yondu. And people, if you don't know who Yondu is the man that pretty much trained Peter Quill. And they got that right, that part about him right in the movie as well, because that actually does happen in the books. So then we fast forward 26 years later, we see Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord, played by Chris Pratt, of course. He's, I guess, kind of, he's a thief slash, no, I don't want to say bounty hunter or whatever. I guess he's just collecting whatever he can to make a profit off of it. And we come across the orb, which has one of the, we find out later, has one of the Infinity Stones in it that Thanos is searching for the Infinity Gauntlet. People, Thanos shows up in this movie, and we'll get into him a little bit later. But Peter Quill runs into Jaman Hansu, who plays Korath, works for Ronan. Ronan was played by Lee Pace, of course. And next, you know, we pretty much get to a scene where we get to a showdown of Zoe Saldana and Groot and Rocket Raccoon, of course, having a showdown to fight for the orb. And then next, you know, they all end up getting arrested. They all come together as one. Drax is introduced because he's pretty much out to get revenge for... And he's introduced in the prison. He's out to get revenge for the death of his wife and kid by Ronan. And Gamora, everybody in this prison hate her because they just like, oh, shit, it's that bitch. She sentenced all of us to death. My family got killed because of her ass. Until we find out that she pretty much was a double agent, just like in the books as well, where she was getting ready to turn on Ronan and Thanos because once she saw that they were trying to destroy a whole galaxy and stuff like that, she wasn't letting that fly. So... next, you know, Drax figures out, you know what, maybe I should just work with these guys to at least get my hands closer on Ronan. Next, you know it, Ronan gets his hands on the orb, chaos ensues, and it's up to the Guardians of the motherfucking galaxy to save the world. No, you know, not save the world, save the universe. Save the galaxy, goddammit. I just want to say this right now. One of my favorite things of the Marvel films, And let's go ahead and make a comparison to DC. One of my favorite things of the Marvel films is that no matter how quickly the story has changed from the original source material or anything like that, I think what Marvel captures best is the characters. I think they translate these characters so well from the pages of the book. It's almost as if you're reading it. Now, granted, a lot of liberties are taken here, and this is, no without a doubt, people, this is a comedy film. And... personally, for me, I think it's the best comedy. And I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, I'll say it again. It is the best comedy film that Marvel has produced. It's an action comedy film that Marvel keeps going on. But I think this one is witty and quick, right on the pace, because it has the great James Gunn writing it. And you can so tell that this is a James Gunn film. That is another thing I love about these films, is that whenever director they get on it, they always know how to keep the source material respectful, and yet they always add their little flair to it. And you can tell with the dialogue in here, this just bleeds James Gunn. People, if you don't know who James Gunn is, watch a movie called Super. It's on Netflix. Check that out. Or even Slither, for that matter, which I believe is on Netflix. But this guy... he takes the PG-13 with his humor to a whole, I'm not going to say a whole nother level, because I've seen it done, but he makes you forget that it almost is a PG-13, whatever, because the film really focuses on getting this team together, and a lot of likable characters in the five of them that gets together, because you got Zoe Saldana that plays Gamora. You got Dave Bautista, who plays Drax, former WWE wrestler. Vin Diesel voices Groot with his three lines. And, of course, Bradley Cooper is voicing Rocket, who actually did a pretty goddamn good job, to say the least. I'm not shocked. Bro. Bradley Cooper's a great actor, so I know he can deliver what he needs to do. Vin Diesel, as much shit as I give this guy, because I don't think he's a good actor at all. I don't give a shit what nobody says. That motherfucker is the new mushmouth of the 21st century. It's funny because his main line in the Fast and Furious movies is, gotta stay for our family and shit like that. And I swear to God, he did a better job of delivering family and friends in this movie than he's ever fucking did. So only thing that was missing from him in the movie was a fucking Corona in his hand and a barbecue pit. But Groot, man, I gotta say, man, he had to be one of the biggest highlights of the fucking film, which is sad because he don't have any fucking lines except for four words, and that's "I am Groot." People, you wondering what that fourth word is? At the end of the movie, he says, "We are Groot." So, you know, he expanded his vocabulary. It only took 2 hours, but he learned. There was so many highs and ups with the Groot. I mean, he was, for someone that don't have no fucking lines, he was funny. He was lovable, and yet he had a lot of emotion at the end of the film as well. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Part of me, people, I took my fiance to the screener, and she even just looked at me and was just like, "Oh, how sad." Because people, we realized that Groot could pretty much kind of sacrifice himself, but not so much sacrifice himself in a way, because Groot can regenerate his body, so he pretty much sacrificed himself to save the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy when the ship was going down. And there was a moment where Rocket Raccoon was damn near crying. I was looking, I was just like, "Rejuvenate Groot." People, funny side note here. Okay, check out Comic-Con recap day 2 and day 3. Me and Cody laugh at this Guardian Galaxy cartoon poster they post, because they're making a cartoon of it. And we see Drax holding a plant of Groot. It all makes goddamn sense now, whatever, because in this movie, Groot does rejuvenates himself, even after being blown up to smithereens and shit like that. And he starts to grow in this little plant that Rocket puts in a little goddamn pot. I was laughing my ass off. Drax, Dave Bautista, I've been saying this about this guy. I was like, you know, I can't judge him as an actor. Man in Iron Fist, he didn't really have too many lines, didn't really do much. Riddick, he was just in the background. I think he had like one line, so he couldn't say anything. But in here, oh my God, man, the comedy, the lines that are written for him are damn near just perfect. He's a guy that just don't understand metaphors because he's so, I don't even want to say it's because he's angry all the time. I'm just going to say it's just because obviously, he doesn't know what a fucking metaphor is. There are being metaphors thrown at him, and he's taking them literally. Like, there's a scene here where Chris Pratt says, if you follow us, you can then, and he takes his finger and slices it across his neck, and Drax is just like, why would I want to touch his neck with my finger? I was like, this guy is completely fucking clueless or whatever. And that's what fucking works of the film, though. It's just the self-awareness of everything that's going on here. I mean, not to mention, I want to say the biggest fucking plus of this movie, and I'm going to go ahead and say, fuck you, Green Lantern, because you have no goddamn excuse now, because this movie only cost $170 fucking million, and yet the whole fucking movie, 2 hours, and if you really want to go there, I'll say an hour and 55 minutes. Because only 5 of those minutes, if not 3 of those fucking minutes, are on Earth. And that is the beginning of the fucking film. Everything else, space. Space. I think, personally, I don't care about Star Wars. I saw a better Star Wars movie. I don't care about the Star Trek reboot. I saw a better Star Trek movie. Because, number one, it's not taking itself goddamn serious or whatever. It is soap opera, but it's soap opera to a T of comedic gold. I had such a fun time watching this damn movie. I even got through all the characters. Zoe Saldana plays a great Gamora. I'll give her that. She does a good job. Her and Nebula has some good scenes together. Chris Pratt. I'm going to save the best for last. Chris Pratt. this guy has really stepped up his game to where I see him as a leading man. I mean, I've been seeing it lately in him in the past couple of movies. I see him. I'm just like, put this guy at the forefront so I can see what he can do. And I thought this movie, he really did help carry the film with his comedic taste, going along with Bradley Cooper as Rocket Raccoon, who voiced him, obviously, and even Vin Diesel's scene. There was a lot of chemistry between the team there, and I thought that was the best. You got Michael Rooker playing Yondu. That motherfucker might as well have been playing Merle from Walking Dead. I was just like, God damn, dude. Every time he opened up his mouth, I was just waiting for him to say, hey, baby brother, where you going or whatever shit. So that I ain't gonna lie, I was having a fun ass. I was laughing at him. I was just like, damn, this dude cannot escape that redneck accent. Karen Gillan as Nebula, she didn't really have, she had a lot of screen time, but she didn't really have that many memorable lines or whatever, or anything in here memorable. The most memorable thing she does, I would assume, is just the fight scene with Gamora at the end. Jimon Hounsou, he was pretty good at what he did. John C. Reilly, he's marketed in the trailer like he's have the he plays one of the Nova Primes, if I'm not mistaken, and he's marketed in the trailer as if he's gonna be some big. He's probably in the movie about three times, and those are like a minute at least. Glenn Close, Benicio del Toro, my man looking like he stepped out of Zoolander or whatever, finally delivered on what he was supposed to fucking do, because I thought he played a cool collector. I'm not gonna lie. Basically, and then you got, okay, we got to get to the villain here. Lee Pace, Ronan. Awesome makeup job. Awesome what he did. But I will say this. He's barely in the fucking movie. And normally I would probably have a problem with that. But I think that the movie personally does such a great job with everything else around it that the villain here felt like a subplot to what the movie was trying to establish as building this team together. Because I really felt more for that than I did for the villain. And that's one of those things that Marvel has or whatever, is the lack of villains. But I think the positive of that is everything else that's going around in it. I mean, the cinematography in space just looked amazing. I was just glassing my eyes just like, this cost $170 million, huh? Wow, this is fucking awesome. I think the best thing of this movie, personally for me, is James Gunn. I mean, James Gunn really knocks it out of the fucking park with his writing, man. I have to give him this, man. His one-liners he gives to each character pays off so well. The characteristics of that character he gives to them, I think, was just perfect, personally. By his very construct, Guardians of the Galaxy is self-aware, heroic, and adventurous at the same time. But for the most part, I think the best part of it as well is it finds that perfect balance. Like a lot of the Marvel movies, at least in my opinion, I think they find that perfect balance between the heroic, the adventurous side, the comedic part, the action side. Personally, for me, this is definitely one of my favorites. And that may be because, though, why James Gunn is actually writing, and I just love his style of writing, and because it's out there and quirky, like kind of like me, actually. He's like, you know, didn't give a fuck. So, so for me, this was my favorite, definitely written line material for people. I was actually more pumped to see this. And to be honest, yeah, you know what? I will go to say this. I was actually more pumped to see this than Captain America 2. Granted, I love Captain America 2. I think it is one of the best Marvel films out, solo Marvel films out there, next to Iron Man and the Avengers, if you will. But Guardians of the Galaxy, for me, that was just a whole nother level as far as taking it to that next step of where they needed to go. Now, let's get into my man, Josh Brolin, old smiley teeth himself. Josh Brolin, first of all, I just want to say that there ain't no CGI. They just put that motherfucker on some purple makeup and gave him some lines on his beard, on his chin and shit, because that looked just like that motherfucker. And damn, was he huge. I was like, my nerd boner got so excited right there. I was tempted to fucking stand up and applaud when he turned around, because I never thought I would see Thanos of all villains on fucking screen. I was amazed. I think another thing the Marvel Cinematic Universe does so well is it's just bringing everything I've ever read as a child together in a movie and doing it so well and handling it so respectfully. And, you know, I don't even I guess when we get to the Infinity Stone here, Ronan, he finds a way to control it. Goes against Thanos, tells him, hey, after I'm getting done killing this planet, I'm coming after you. That's right. Yeah. Don't you? Matter of fact, Thanos got a little slave ownerish and shit. I thought it was Michael Fassbender playing him for a second. He was just like, boy, don't you ever talk to me like that. And then Ronan grabbed that stone and was like, don't you ever call me boy. I was just like, finally, the slave is stepping up to the pen here. So we ain't got to worry about getting whipped no more now. But then next, you know it, of course, they pretty much trick Ronan. And then I like how they set up that Peter Quill's character could hold it longer, but it took the whole team to hold each other to make that team effort to be able to control the stone. And that ending line, baby, when Peter Quill told them, he's like, how can a human manage to control the stone? And he was just like you said, bitch, because we the guardians of the fucking galaxy. I was just like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, this, as you can tell, people, this is definitely, this for me, this is a see it. I definitely think you should see it. I think you personally should see it, not because of a lot of people in my audience, because I saw it twice. So I had a screener, obviously, and I saw it again for the IMAX 3D event, because I wanted to get these cool-ass posters and shit. But for me personally, a lot of people was laughing in my theater. They caught the one-liners. Everybody stayed. It was a fucking awesome time, awesome experience. I haven't had this fun of an experience in a movie theater since The Raid 2, where girls was jumping up out of their seat when they saw the action scenes. And I was happy to see this come forth on screen or whatever. All I got to say one more time is, you other superhero movies, in movies in general, you have no fucking excuse no more whenever we go to other planets and shit, why your ass should come to fucking Earth. Because my God, they handled this so fucking well. So happy for James Gunn. I really hope this works out for him. But now let's get into the stinger here. Yeah, we got to get into the stinger here. So Benicio Del Toro, his place blew up because the stone lost control after his crazy bitch just tried to grab it and she killed herself and everything. We get a scene here where Benicio Del Toro is having a drink. He's wrapped in bandages. He's laid out. His place is still sparking up and shit. And, you know, he's the collector, obviously. He collected a human dog or something like that. And then this dog comes over here, licks his face and shit. And then you hear in the background saying, hey, you'd let that thing lick you in the face? And then the camera zooms over and you see sitting out of a chamber, because he was locked up, obviously, Howard the motherfucking Duck. I was just looking at that like, no, the fuck they did not. Usually most stingers at the end of these Marvel movies tie into the next movie. So James Gunn reported that this movie is tying in with Avengers 3. I swear to God, I'll give this fucking movie a fucking a dick standing, high see it, double plus seed or whatever you need to give it if they have Howard the Duck kill Thanos. Howard the Duck is an iconic character. Now, they had a movie about him in the 80s. Now, that movie was a piece of shit, don't get me wrong, whatever. But regardless of what that movie was, that character was well-loved when I was growing up. I remember we used to constantly read his shit. Excuse me. So to see Howard the Duck on screen and have that great line, it fits so perfectly, to be honest, in this universe, because nothing was off limits here. If that fucking raccoon, as much shit as he was talking, which he talked a lot of shit in this movie and did such an amazing fucking job at it, I saw why the fuck not. That duck fit perfectly in here. And if they wanted to spin it off and do another Howard the Duck movie, get James Gunn to write that shit. That's all I can tell you. So, people, I'm giving it a high C. Once again, oh, yeah, another thing. Check out the soundtrack, too. I mean, they get the Marvin Gaye, Jackson 5, Blue Suede. I mean, the soundtrack is fucking incredible. It really is. So, people, check that out, too, if you have to. I'm giving it a see it. I can't say no more. Only thing I need to go out on this movie is I am Groot. You know, we are Groot. That's right, people. We all are Groot. I can't believe I felt more for that fucking tree than I have half the fucking human beings I didn't see in the fucking movies this summer, but whatever, people. Later, bastards.
I will destroy you and your world. First, you get percentage of a client. I don't know. 12%.
12%?